Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Breaking news. Phil made it to work.
Yay!
Oh, he doesn't look like he's in a good mood.
No.
Mm. No, I'm pretty upset with myself.
Like a squirrel in a cage right now.
Yeah. How's it going?
Not great.
No. Yeah. AJ wanted to know what game was on last night. So, Phil, what are we supposed to do? Act like it didn't happen? Come on, talk to us.
Yeah.
No, I'm just mad. I'm not blaming anyone. I don't have an excuse. Like, I'm just so tired of this happening.
All right. Well,
I'm
we'll focus on the resolution. You know what? I spoke to Drew once. I said, how do you not get mad and like kick stuff around and like throw stuff?
Yeah, seriously, like, what's wrong with him?
Kill people and
exactly.
Throw interns in front of cars.
Never seen him mad.
I've never seen him mad.
No. Never, never. There's a story floating around that he's mad once. But
like once a year, like a Vulcan?
No, just once.
Always once.
Just once.
Oh.
But he said, I instantly focus on how to fix the issue.
Nice.
So
he analyzes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So here's my suggestion. You get a bed that at a certain time just flips you out of it.
Nice. The catapult bed.
Yeah.
Right.
It just ping.
Right.
It's set. There's a spring.
Right.
And then at a certain time, just go ping, boom, into the wall.
Didn't George Jetson have that? The bed turns like a toaster and then shot him out? I believe he had some way of, like, it shot him out.
I don't think it was a toaster. I think it just went up.
Yeah, something. I know he fired out of something.
Yeah, the car that folded into a briefcase.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, yeah.
All right, so that would be mine.
Yeah.
Because that would be a motivator for me when I hear the alarm, like, I better get out of bed right now or I'm going to be stuck to the wall.
Yes. And you should be wearing Velcro pajamas and a Velcro wall. So you're like...
But then he won't pick up the phone because he'll be stuck to the wall.
But it's easy to find, though. Just call him and say, Amanda, is Phil against the wall right now?
I think Amanda should get little cat treats and put cat treats all over Phil's face once he falls asleep.
Oh.
And that way his cat Bronx will just be on top of his face.
But then he won't get the sleep.
Right.
Well, at least he'll be at work on time.
Right.
If you want to wake up, you have some C4 and a detonator that's timed for a certain time. If you don't press that red button in time.
Or the bed is like a frying pan.
Nice.
It just starts heating up at a certain time.
Right. The heat bed, yes. Mm.
Or like a boxing glove comes out of the wall.
Yeah, but that'll knock him back out again.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Now we need something to motivate and inspire.
AJ, did you like 5:30 to 6 not being mocked or fact-checked?
That was awesome.
Yeah. You had the whole show to yourself for a minute there.
I know.
Yeah.
I didn't like it, though. I miss you guys. I didn't like having the whole show to myself.
I didn't hear you. What did you talk about?
Anything.
Oh, that would be great.
Anything.
We have to get that.
Oh, you didn't hear me, Jess?
No, I heard you.
Okay, because I was narrating based on what you were doing, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I heard you saying something like, this is a bad time for charades.
Yep. Yeah, because you're like pointing to and stuff. I'm like, I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah. See, we're all having a good time here, Phil. You can just join in.
It happens. Just work on it.
I'm having a hard time feeling like I'm ready to have a good time right now.
Okay.
I'm really upset with myself.
Oh, right. Okay.
I'm just trying hard not to swear on the
air. Don't be mad at you. Be mad at your alarm clock.
Yeah, Ashley said she got you on the phone, and she needed some...
What happened? What did you
It
throw?
Sounds like a phone.
That was his phone.
A phone being like chucked around a bit.
It hit every corner of the inside of my car already on the inside.
Oh, wow.
So can you set the alarm and see if it goes off?
Oh, it goes off.
That would suck. It wasn't working.
Let's just test it out right now.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Oh, it goes off.
So did you sleep through it or something? Or?
If you're tuning in, you're listening to Phil's Late for Work, part two.
Yeah.
Part one made best of, so you'll hear that when we're on vacation.
Right.
I'm sure this will, too.
Yeah, this is the end of the series, right? Because Phil's going to start coming
the
in.
The end of the series.
The end of the series. It's a two-part series.
It's a two-part series.
We're going to get him a good alarm clock.
Can you set the alarm for like 60 seconds? And we'll see if it goes off.
Yeah. I did.
Okay. You know, we have all these fancy phones and everything. Nothing beats a cheap $10 alarm clock from Walgreens.
I forgot this, but AJ said he bought you an alarm.
Yep, when he first got the job. Because you were oversleeping a lot, so I bought you an alarm clock.
So this isn't part two. This is part 12, right. 13.
12.
To 12.
But that annoying sound from those cheap alarm clocks will wake the dead.
Mm. It really will, but you have to put it on the other side of the room.
So you have to get up, exactly. Problem. Right. That's your alarm?
That's your alarm?
That's the problem.
Sounds like an 80s sitcom.
What is it?
Oh, look at that. I just tapped the screen and it's gone.
But
okay, well, that's usually how it works.
What song was that? It sounded like someone Back to the Future. Was that Huey
Lewis?
Yeah. Dan, dan. Dan, dan. That's a power love. Dan, that's dan. A power love.
Dan, I don't think dan, that's the dan, sound dan. You should use.
Yeah. You need someone like screaming like, ah!
That's the generic.
That should be an alarm clock. A person screaming or gunshots.
AJ screaming.
Yeah.
We'll go through it here. These are all the sounds.
All right.
Okay. This is much more entertaining than news.
No,
you don't
not
want that. That's too mellow.
That'll put me to sleep.
That's too mellow. Yeah, you don't want that.
All right, so that's gone.
You don't have meat, 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 meat.
That's way too mellow. That makes me.
Wait, hold on. This is what was going through Phil's head
right.
As we were running around. Well, yeah. Ashley was running around.
This is Game of Thrones? I say, my lord. Lord Phil fell asleep again. I say, he's still sleeping.
Phil is dreaming of mocking AJ.
Back-checking everybody.
He's wearing a tuxedo while doing so with a cognac. With an ascot.
Yes.
I'm saying, you're saying things wrong, stupid.
All right, what else do we have for sounds here?
Oh, that's a good one.
It's over. It just does that.
That's okay. It'll wake your ass up.
I think that's good.
Yeah. Because, like, what is that?
You know why? Because there's aliens? A break in the sound. So the sound is constantly...
Yeah.
It's on, off, rather than something that your ears can adjust to.
Yeah.
It sounds like a video game from the 1980s.
Sounds like the Christmas at my aunt's house in Puerto Rico.
Everyone's on flip-flops. AJ's tickling feet everywhere.
Yep, that's me.
Well, what's next?
This one's called Sunrise.
No, you don't want that. That's too mellow.
Wow.
Yeah, that promotes
These
sleep.
Are the worst alarm sounds ever.
It sounds like a TV series of Newhart.
He doesn't have an iPhone, so I bet the iPhone has way better sounds.
Yeah, they're horrible.
Yeah. I think it yells at your bill.
Let's see. Sounds.
But yell, you need an update! You need an update!
Chaz and AJ.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Good morning. This is John from New Haven.
I'm sorry, did our alarm sounds wake you up?
Good morning, John.
Go ahead, John.
What's up, man?
So, you guys, I know everybody saw Wayne's World, right?
Yeah.
No.
When Garth was left on the couch by himself without Wayne. Anybody remember that part?
I remember when Wayne was off the show, you
Why
mean?
Why don't we start at the end and work your way back? Where are we going with this?
After Wayne got tossed?
We're going with AJ's awkwardness being on the air by himself, nothing to say.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. Say. We're focusing on that. Instead of Phil
well, that's
getting,
the
getting
next
up.
Break. We got to play that.
Right, right, right.
That was the funniest you've ever been, AJ.
I appreciate that. In a weird way, but thank you. I'll take it at this point. I'll take it.
That's
thank
great.
You.
All right, that was it. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Chaz and AJ.
Hey, I was just calling because... I got an alarm clock. You're talking about screaming. I play heavy metal on the alarm to wake my ass up.
Nice.
Okay,
that works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some death metal maybe on your in your phone or something like that. You know.
I do.
Like the sound of a freight train coming.
Yeah, no, I think music or anything that's constant, your mind will adjust to it. I think it has to, you know, be a, what do you call it, like a pulsing.
Or a truck horn. You wake right up.
I don't know
up.
How the hell to pull up the sounds on my...
Here, I think I have it. If you go to...
Settings?
Set an alarm. Here we go.
That's mine.
Yeah.
That's the standard. That's not good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's annoying.
It's called beacon.
Beacon. Nope.
Nah.
It's like a Seinfeld episode.
It's called By the Seaside.
Hello, all these people. You ever notice when you're walking down the sidewalk, people stare at you? Who are these people?
You ever notice?
You ever notice? Why do alarm clocks wake us up? Oh, no!
Chimes?
Yeah.
No, I could sleep right through that.
This is like a bad
it's like being
play.
Out on a porch. On
yes.
A swing.
The wind chimes.
One of those. What the hell
a hammock?
A swing bench.
Or a hammock.
On a nice summer day.
Yes. It's like a Phil Collins song.
It really does. Yeah. Which one is that?
Coming home. That one. take me home. That one.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Yeah, definitely take me home.
Yeah.
That's the intro for Take Me Home.
Yeah. They can't just have it. They have to
no,
have
of course
it remastered.
Not. Right. Or else you have to have a commercial.
See if you could sync it up.
Nope.
It's close enough.
Yes.
Now, see, that wouldn't wake me up.
No. I want to sing.
It blended right in.
I want to sing along in my dream. I had this weirdest dream of singing like Phil Collins.
Chaz and AJ.
Hey, guys. I think you guys should have an audio file made for Phil's phone of one of AJ's homicidal rages.
Oh.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm feeling a growing film with the roof and whatnot. Yeah, I like that one.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Can you play AJ's... anger montage?
The anger montage, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, get off the phone, moron, it'll work.
Yeah, get off the phone.
Yeah.
You have to make a special one for Phil. Get out of bed, moron!
Get out of bed, you moron!
Oh, this is great.
Give it a friggin' rest is my favorite one, because you almost don't say it right. Give it a rest.
Pay attention, idiots. You deserve it. Tough taillights.
Get off the phone, moron!
Tacos make people angry.
Barbecues make people angry. Don't turn this into a dick thing, pal, okay? The goddamn parking lot!
Please, give it a rest already. Knock it off, okay? History happened. You know what? Shut up. Just shut up. Because every freaking thing in the world that's happened, I have a problem with this. Kiss my ass. You are idiots. Here's a soundbite. Bye.
You know what will happen, though? Phil will hear that.
Yes, sir.
And he'll just start dreaming that he's at work.
He'll start correcting me, yeah. Grab the window.
Get out of here!
The one-chip challenge is back. I didn't even know there was one. So it's back as a surprise to me.
Okay.
Here's the guy who instantly regrets trying it. What do we know about this chip?
It's the hottest chip on Earth.
Really?
It only comes one in a package. It's a potato chip. And it's really, really,
is
really
it like
hot.
Hot sauce? Or do they measure?
No,
it
it's that. Yeah, well, it's like this, like ghost pepper and stuff like that, and it's nasty. I know that. And the challenge is that you cannot have anything to drink for a certain period of time, and also you can't, you know, you can't like choke or anything like that. You have to like maintain. It's like a what's a I forget what it's called. It's written down. Someone friggin' look down and read what it is. It's like a Pichu.
I don't
something
have
something like
it.
This chip or something like that.
I have no idea.
Tack it, tack it, tack it, really quick. That'd be awesome.
Look at that. Like
the
fault.
One chip challenge. When I do something wrong, I win so fast. It go type, 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 type. Swear to God.
Tack it, tack it, tack it, tack it.
Yeah, tack it, tack it.
I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah, the one chip challenge. Like, what is a chip called? Please, thank you. It's some sort of P, like a Pachu or...
P-A-Q-U-I.
The Packy chip. That's it. The Packy chip.
Yeah.
Yes. One Packy per chip.
Really?
Yep.
Can we get these?
Yes, they're available online, I believe.
So the challenge is eating it without vomiting, spitting it up, or taking a sip of water.
Exactly right.
Okay.
Nothing to drink, yeah, with a certain period of time.
All right, and this is a guy trying it?
Yes.
All right. Now we're going to find out if he succeeds or fails.
3, 2, 1, eat. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Bro. Bro, I can still feel it. I can't play. Oh, my God. Ah.
Oh, that's
see, for
bad.
Me, something like that, when someone's really, really hot, I get the hiccups.
All right.
Never used to happen before. As I got older, and now if I eat something really, really hot, like those type of chips or like that insane sauce, mm-hmm. I get the hiccups instantaneously.
Did you hear the different phases?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
There's the dying. Initial.
Yep.
And then the scream. Ah!
Oh, my God.
And then crying.
Yeah. Ah!
Sounds like torture.
Yeah, you know your sinuses are clear and probably it'll run your colon.
Oh, can we get these chips? How much are they? So it's one chip per bag.
Yeah, one chip per package.
Oh, man, can you imagine like just getting, 100 bags and then making a bowl of them and then just putting them out?
At a party. Videotape it, yep.
I feel like you'd smell that. There's like no way.
At like, a senior party.
You'd smell it coming.
Yep.
On Amazon, one package, which is one chip, is $18.
Oh.
Damn.
Would you try it, AJ?
All that for the privilege of dying.
All right, so we need four of them, right?
Right, we need four of them. I'll do it if you guys do it.
I'll do it.
Okay, we need three of them.
All right, so we need four, right? Mm. I just want to see if her eyes pop out of her head.
Did you hear that? Torture.
I heard him, yes.
This was really popular a couple years ago. I remember they were like doing it on the news.
Okay, so it came back. That's why I was saying it returned.
News people were doing it?
Yes.
Yeah, the new guy.
Can we
time.
Find...
This is the best one. So he's been like bragging all week that he's going to do better than her. And she's just been like, okay, we'll see. And then like her ancestry or whatever, like they just eat spicy food all the time. So she's just like over there like, oh yeah, I'm sweating a little bit. And he is in hell. He is dying.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, I hate the crunchy part.
Oh, wow.
He's like dancing around and she's just
You all right there, buddy? You okay?
Mm-hmm.
You need some water?
You're
maybe
not
some milk?
Gonna win. Do you want
wow,
to
wipe? Finger licking good. Yeah, that was great. Jim, there's no shame.
Mm-hmm.
He's tearing right? Already.
It's tasty.
A little aftertaste kind of hits you. No sweat.
Uh-huh. Oh, God. I swallowed the rest of it.
There is milk here.
He's doing like a tap dance.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I should also say, to be fair, Jim.
Did she eat this? Oh, my God,
yes.
You did.
I'm Ethiopian. My family is African. So I've been eating hot sauce since I was a baby.
She had an edge.
This is the dirty look you just gave me. Jim, it's okay. There's no shame. Oh, but
it's affecting you.
Oh, well, I'm fine. It's just, it's spicy. It's hot.
She's walking around like a peacock.
Yep.
You're literally sweating, Jim.
You stop talking.
Okay.
Let's talk to David Brophy of the Coast Guard Chief Petty Officer Association. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Chaz.
Are you the guy that signed Pam up?
No, I am not.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I am not.
All right.
He's happy about that. He's actually beating his chest.
I heard she's doing very well.
Yes.
That's good. That's good. The what specialty did she do that you know?
Phil?
Eating? Does that count?
What is she now? Like first class?
She's raced to the next rank, I think.
What's the second?
Do you know where her job title is?
I don't.
She's like a dispatcher.
Didn't she want to be
that?
In communication? She wanted to be like a radio dispatcher.
Probably an operations specialist then.
Okay, we'll go with that. Yes.
Hmm.
That's good.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact title, but I know that she recently moved up in rank.
Okay, well, if you said communications, our communications people are usually operations specialists.
Wow.
Okay.
That's a specialist, yes.
She told me what she does, but, you know, it's in one ear and not the other.
Well, it's very complicated.
Not really.
It is to me.
But thank you for your service.
Yeah, man.
Before we
thank
get
you.
Into this golf tournament you're having, have you yes. had a or tell us about one of your hairy like water rescues?
Myself, well, I have to go back about 20 years for that. One of my very first SAR cases, which is search and rescue, at my first unit in Virginia, I was an E3 at the time, and I was just newly qualified. And the first boat trip I went on as qualified, we came around a turn, and we watched a catamaran kind of turn over. And it was me and two other people on our boat that we were on, and we kind of got closer, and I saw that there was a younger child in the water. And I just told the guy driving the boat that, hey, I'm going to get that kid. And I jumped in and got him and pulled him out of the water.
Nice. Man, that's great.
Amazing.
That really is. That's got to be a great feeling. But yeah. You see that kid in the water, you're like, oh, boy, this could be really bad.
With my luck, it'd be a doll. You rescued a doll. Yeah.
Well, you can't swim. So
exactly. That's why it'd be my luck.
That's why we're here, AJ.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah, I just got to have him hanging around me.
Do you have any advice to boaters? I mean, I know we're out of the season now, but is there something that you commonly see that we screw up with? Would it be drinking?
Yes,
my guess would be drinking.
Forget the plug?
Well, drinking is just like, you know, driving your car. You don't want to operate a vehicle or a boat if you've had too much to drink. So there's that. But the biggest thing that we see and a lot in this area is even with the weather still nice, the water temperature is slowly coming down. So you got to always remember to make sure you have your proper PPE, your life jacket, signaling devices, ways to communicate with somebody, and always let somebody know back on shore where you're going to be.
That's
and
key,
when you're supposed to be
right?
Back.
And
more
when
specific.
You're supposed to be back.
Now, I'm going to be in the water. No. More specific.
Right.
How do you find a tiny little boat when you're in a helicopter and there's white caps and the boat's white? Shouldn't boats be orange?
Yeah, I say orange, bright orange, or chartreuse.
That would be ideal because that would help see them. But I am not an aviator by any means. I'm basically a diesel mechanic. And people like you mentioned, Pam, with the operations special side of it, they help determine where people's last known positions are. And they're the ones that actually help get that information to the rescue people who actually go out there and find them. And, of course, we use our other government agencies like local fire departments and police officers as well to help.
You ever heard of Marco Polo? No.
Kind of seems that way sometimes.
Cool.
Marco!
Polo!
Get over there!
Are you folks involved in the presidential visit at all or not really?
Not where I'm at. I'm not sure if anybody else in any of our other AOR is.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, so what's the deal with this golf tournament?
So the golf tournament is being run by our Chief Petty Officer Association, which even though we are active duty Chief Petty Officers, it's a separate entity. We're actually working more as a volunteer organization that's a veteran organization, and it's basically an IRS-designated 501c19 veteran nonprofit. Yeah.
That's
so
great.
Yep, so what we do is we care about our junior members, our senior members that have come upon times of need, and everything that we're not funded by anybody.
What do you mean times of need? What's happening?
So, for instance, last year, especially during COVID, we had members that were coming out of boot camp, and they may have been coming from places like California, and they attend boot camp over in Cape May, New Jersey, and they weren't allowed to go home after boot camp, so they were coming straight to their first unit with basically what they had in their bag when they reported and their uniform items. And our members in our Chiefs Association were actually caravanning them up the coast. So you had people coming from California going to Maine in the middle of winter with a pair of shorts and tank tops.
Whoops.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You know, we think that you guys and girls are taken care of. You know?
It'd be nice if
you
were.
Like, we work with Lori Hollander with Help Our Military Heroes, and they're getting vans for folks that are coming back, and they can't drive.
Yeah.
You know, they can't walk.
Yes.
And you would think, oh, the government's going to take care of it.
Well, they took care of it, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
nope. Different kind of way.
So, all right. So, this is a good cause. It's an 18-hole tournament at Lyman Orchards Golf Club.
Cool.
Yes.
Next Thursday. So, a week from today.
Yes.
They have the apples over there still, or are we past that?
That's what they're hitting. The apples.
I'm not sure. I think they still have apple picking, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, great.
Cool.
All right, and then it's $75 to get in, 4 golfers per group, 2 groups per hole, and you could sponsor or play, which next Thursday, if the weather's like today, man, there's nothing like it.
Perfect.
Nothing like it.
That's what I'm hoping for it. I mean, middle of October, I'll take it.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you for your service. We're going to link up to this on the radio station website, and please, if there's anything you folks need, let us know.
Absolutely, Jazz and AJ. I appreciate it. And Phil and Ashley has been great helping me out along the way. And Phil, I hope your day gets a lot better, bud.
Yeah, can you just like fire a couple of rounds towards his house?
How do you handle that when someone doesn't get out of bed or they're late for their job?
Well, we hold them accountable, and usually we counsel them and let them know not to do it again and make sure that they do have an alarm clock and a backup.
They put pennies in a sock and whack in the ass.
I like the holding accountable part.
Yes. Can we record Keith counseling you later?
Yes, yes.
We could hear from home.
David, I'd be happy to, Jess.
David Brophy, thank you for your service, and thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Morning.
Excellent.
Wow.
Waiting for my dog to bark and interrupt us, but he hasn't yet. She hasn't
yet. Yeah. Give it time.
Right. Once she knows you're on the air, boom, in.
Or needs walkies.
Yeah. Well, she's not used to it in the morning. She's used to talking to me in the morning, so we'll get used to it.
So you're ignoring me. Dad, you're ignoring me.
So tonight in Waterbury, there's still some tickets left, but this thing's been selling very well. Concert Legends.
Yes, it's a discussion about the concert legends that appeared at the Waterbury Palace Theater, mostly in the 70s, but we did drift into the 80s. I'll tell some stories that happened there. We'll hopefully have some questions and answers from the audience. And Dizzy Fish, who will be playing a lot of the music that that graced the stage during the 70s. From, you know, I don't know what artists in particular. I know they're going to play some Dead songs and Eagles songs and... I think New Riders songs and whatever. You know, it's going to be whatever. I'm not choosing their set list. They're choosing their Eric and Dizzy Fish are choosing their own set list.
So they, I'm guessing they got a list of bands that you'll probably be talking about, and then they pick the songs that they wanted to play.
Oh yeah, there's no probable here.
Okay, cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is scripted.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
This is scripted until somebody asks me a question, I don't know the answer, and then all of a sudden, knowing Lappy, he'll go way off what we're supposed to talk about and drift into something that we probably shouldn't be talking about, which is sort of what you guys do to me also. So
yeah,
what else is new?
I love the behind-the-scenes stories, and I know a lot of people are going that went to these shows. And then now want to hear kind of like the backstory and
what they missed because they're wasted.
And also, they were out in the parking lot, never made it in.
Right.
Yeah.
Or how wasted everybody got backstage.
Exactly right.
It was the 70s.
Even better, yes.
Yeah, that was before like managers said, listen, you should go on and do a good show.
And then party.
Then party.
Right.
The managers were the partiers along with the bands.
Oh, yeah, see?
And the promoters and the agents, and nobody thought drugs could kill you, and nobody thought that there was no such thing as AIDS. So the 70s was a giant party.
Wow. You ever walk in on an artist, like, naked and, you know, doing something like that?
I've actually walked into an artist where she was wearing no shirt, and she didn't care.
Oh.
I knocked on the door. She said, come in, and there she was with no shirt on.
So use your knockers.
It's hard to make eye contact.
Yeah.
It was, I don't even know the color of her eyes.
She had a head?
And that's not being disgusting. It's just, it's a DNA.
It's a biological thing.
It's a biological thing.
Right.
So look at something you normally don't see.
No, I was more embarrassed than she was. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Jimmy screamed.
She stood there and talked like she had a shirt on. I wanted to get the hell out of the dressing room.
You forgot what you went in to ask her?
I can't remember what I asked her, but I can certainly remember what I saw.
Right. That is hysterical.
Oh, my goodness.
You never see that person the same way again.
No, and I had her in concert a few more times, and she was very friendly and very nice, but I couldn't get the image of the two things I saw out of my head.
Right.
And how about sex? Have you ever walked in on someone, or have you, you know, couldn't get an artist on stage in time
because they were busy
or something of that nature?
No, I never did that. That usually happened back at the hotel room.
Gotcha.
But you saw many, many girls backstage that loved groupies.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're even groupies anymore, but back then there were a lot of groupies.
Yeah.
And, it was sort of like a badge of honor if you went back to the hotel room and partied with the band and stayed overnight with the band.
The roadies would go out and hand these girls passes, right? So would they ask you for like a stack of passes?
No, they did it themselves. They didn't want to trust my taste.
No.
Because the band members, and mostly it was Van Halen and Kiss and Motley Crue and bands like that, that the roadies knew the taste of the band members.
Right.
So they went out there and they invited certain girls backstage to party with the band.
So they would have the backstage passes printed up, or would you have to supply them?
Well, in the 70s, I supplied them. The band started to print up their own passes in the 80s. But if the band said, I need 14 passes, I'd give them 14 backstage passes. I didn't ask who was getting them. But then when I saw all these girls, and it was particularly at Van Halen and Motley Crue and Kiss, as I said, a Poison was like that too. You'd know who it was and what they did with those passes.
Right. I know.
They were dressed to kill these girls.
60 yeah. passes.
Right. In the last 15 strong. Minutes.
Right.
Yep. Nobody's that strong.
No.
Sorry. Not even in the 70s.
Right.
Wow. What's, when you think about the Palace Theater and being backstage, what's the first image or what's one of the first images that pops into your head?
Oh, there's no doubt. The couch I was sitting on in the dressing room when all of a sudden I got dosed by the Grateful Dead. And
That happened at the Palace. I keep forgetting that.
Yeah.
That happened at the Palace. It was really I almost cursed. It was really a bad thing to do to me. It was not good.
Okay, so don't take anything tonight.
Don't drink anything.
Bring your own snacks, your own drinks tonight.
I should say that. No Pepsi, please.
Yeah. Nothing. Pepsi Bring your can. Own stuff, Jimmy.
I'm guessing
about that.
After that, you never trusted any soda or any beverage, anything in a package after that.
I
right?
wouldn't.
No, I brought my own.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, only the Dead shows. I mean, you know, it was a game back then. You know, let's get the promoter. Let's dose the promoter. Let's dose the ushers. Let's dose the band members. Let's dose the roadies. It was like
Wow.
It was like, let's have a complete crazy LSD trip going on stage.
Wow.
And it was Owsley's acid, so it was proven to be safe because it was done so many times by these people, and these people walk around like normal people, they felt they could do this to anybody.
It's like vitamins to them, yeah.
Yeah, it seems like the Grateful Dead would want a chemist on the road with them to make this stuff to cut down on costs.
Like a Walter White.
Well, they did. They had Owsley. Oh. Owsley traveled with them, so...
Oh, that's who that is.
Oh, that was his brand.
That was the chemist.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Did he wear, like, a pharmacist jacket?
You'd never know he was Owsley.
Oh.
No, you'd never know it.
Oh.
Why, he looked like an accountant?
Yeah, he looked very normal, and it was you'd never think it was him. And but he didn't do the dirty work. It was somebody else who dosed me. They just used his ass, and he just had fun watching me.
Right. He made it, and then what happened to it after that was on everybody else.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And you know what would have been funny? Because back then, Jimmy, you paid cash, right, or check or whatever? It wasn't like a digital transfer.
No. Back then, it was mostly cash, actually.
Can you imagine if they got you tripping and then you paid them with a briefcase full of Lucky Charms or something?
That'd been cool. They would appreciate if they had the munchies.
Wait a minute. Right. This isn't money. Oh, this is way more valuable.
This has got marshmallow pieces in it, man.
I never thought about that.
Yeah. They gave us Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries.
So that's happening tonight at the Palace. Do you know what time it starts?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
It starts early because it's made for people that were hip in the 70s and 80s and want to go home and be in bed by 11.
Gotcha. Right.
Right.
What time are you wrapping up? Is there a time limit?
I'm going to go on around 7:20 to 7:30, and the show will be over by 9.
Oh, wow. Okay, good. And then you'll tell some stories, take some questions.
Yes, and we have a really cool video, a 10-minute video of the history of the Palace Theater with a lot of the artists that appeared there.
Nice.
And it's going to be a nice hour and a half of good music and good stories, and then we'll head out, and just everybody will remember what it was like when they were younger and thinner. and had more hair.
I love that. So that's tonight. We're linked up on the radio station website. There's still some tickets left. I think $10, and then they're right. No, the tickets
are, there's $45 tickets, which
those are VIP.
Those will get a T-shirt and signed T-shirt, and then all tickets are $20.
Awesome. Before we get to this day in Connecticut concert history, just got a question from Josh in Norwalk wondering about Def Leppard.
Well, they're going to tour next year, but they're doing the tour with Motley Crue, Poison, and Joan Jett. The stadium tour that they postponed in 2020, they're doing in 2022. So as of now, there are no dates outside that tour. But if there are, I would certainly hope to bring them to Mohegan Sun.
Now, when you see something like that coming to New York or Boston, do you try to break one of the bands off and get them here, or is it too complicated with the equipment?
Exactly right. You can't, because they use stadium-sized sound systems, and the best you can do is hope to break off one of the smaller bands on the show, either Poison or Joan Jett. But then you have to rent a sound system, and they do sound checks, and they needs their sound system.
Yeah,
and
not
it's
worth
way
it.
Too confusing to do.
I think you tried to do that with Wolfie, right, when he was playing Guns N' Roses?
I did. I tried to bring Mammoth into Toads. Thought it would be a great idea, but they couldn't find the time or the sound equipment quick enough to do it. So hopefully we'll have Wolfie at Toads sometime in 22.
Cool. Wow.
And Weezer did this. In between the Hell Omega tour, they were on with Green Day and Fall Out Boy. They came and played a solo deal.
Yes. Every once in a while an artist can do that, but in most cases it's very tough.
Speaking of Motley Crue, someone called this week. We were talking about unplanned concert events. Of course, everyone brings up Tommy Lee, New Haven Coliseum, falling on his head. Somebody mentioned August 2000, Vince was hit in the head with something, and he started bleeding. What was it, a soda can, or what was it?
Unclear, but yeah, he got hit in the face. He disappeared for about 10 minutes and came back and said, okay, let's try that again, or something like that.
Well,
you remember that, Jimmy?
I remember cans being thrown at me on stage, and I do remember Vince getting hit in the head, and there was never a chance he wasn't going back on stage. We had to bandage him up, but I remember only when I bring out bad news, I get things thrown at me, of course. But we just had a Foo Fighters show in Syracuse that almost got canceled, and they wanted me to go out on stage and announce it, and I said, you know what, when I was in my 40s and 50s, I could dodge those bottles and cans really well.
I'm not that fast.
You know what you need? That golf cart they have that picks up the balls and has all the grating on it.
Yeah.
You need one of those. Just ride out and say, concert's canceled!
it's not a good thing anymore. So I was going to do it from the side of the stage instead of from on the stage this time.
And then seriously.
And we talked about this. You guys were putting together this video where Dave Grohl was going to either pop up live or record something on his phone, send it to you, and then you were going to play it on the screen?
Yep. There is now.
Dave?
It says spam. Spam.
Oh, I love spam.
Spam. It was great. So I got a little nervous about it, and I said it to the manager. I said, I'll do it, but I'll do it from the side of the stage. And Dave heard I was nervous. He says, why don't I put the cancellation notice on a cell phone video? I'll send it up to you, and you can play it on the big video screens.
That's great.
And therefore, he'll be announcing it. And I said, that is a gift.
Yeah. Thank you.
And that's the type of guy Dave Grohl is. I mean, he's super person.
A good guy.
So this day in Connecticut concert history in 1977, Rod Stewart and Air Supply at the New Haven Coliseum.
Really? Rod Stewart and Air Supply?
That makes sense.
Does it?
Well, go look at, I couldn't tell you offhand, but my guess is if you looked at Rod Stewart's singles in 77, I would guess that they were probably pretty poppy at the time if they put Air Supply on the...
I think AJ's right. 77 was still Ron Wood playing guitar.
Yeah, it was still rocking.
Hot Legs.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
Big hit. Those are number one hits.
Yeah, you're right.
Air Supply had a bunch of number one hits, so it sort of made sense for the audience.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of like having dessert before dinner.
You ever meet the guys in Air Supply, or you didn't care?
No, I did not.
No. Isn't one like really tall?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I found them to be very boring.
One's tall like Big Bird.
Right. And then the other one's like Napoleon-like.
Yeah, one's like
I'm all out of love. Yeah, right. That guy.
Any people who dress in white.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I don't know. I don't think this is for me.
Yeah.
The biggest surprise to me, and it happened in New Haven, was I thought Little River Band was a lot like Air Supply, but when they opened up the Yale Bowl show with the Eagles and Hart, they really rocked. And I remember standing there going, these guys can play rock and roll. And their songs were so wussy-like and so, you know, tender. Yet on stage, they really rocked. Air Supply was not like that.
No.
No.
Air Supply stayed tender.
You know, it's interesting. I had this
almost gelatinous.
Yeah.
The jello of music.
There's a time and place for that. I can get into that.
I'm good.
We've had this conversation years ago on the air about Ambrosia, and someone said, oh, you have to go because their guitar player is great and all this stuff. And I went, and, you know, they have these songs that you could tell the record label said, here, do these, get on the air, sell some records, then you could do what you want on the rest of the
album. That's also a dessert, Ambrosia.
And they had these guitar-based songs. I'm like, wow, I would not have guessed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at that. Rocking.
Also, on this day in Connecticut concert history, this is a day that Jimmy liked to book the Grateful Dead. There are three Grateful Dead shows on this day in history.
Wow.
83, 84, and 94.
Yes, yes. And the reason we always did that, and I ran, co-ran the tours on the Grateful Dead in the 90s before Jerry died, is the audience is very tribal. They like to make their plans. So the concept we always worked out with the Dead was same time period every year, same cities. People can make plans, and that's why you'll always see October and April, Connecticut plays for the Dead. You'll always see that.
Wow.
Every time it comes up, you'll see October and April, and that's when we did the Connecticut dates.
That makes sense. Now, I never thought of that, but it makes so much sense because some people just follow this band around.
Yep.
And you'll see them out in the parking lots, and they're selling jewelry or artwork or whatever.
Weed.
This is how they keep their economy going,
yeah,
and they just follow the band around.
Right. It's gas money.
If you had a job, you knew when to take your one-week vacation.
Right. That makes so much sense.
Okay.
All right. And then we got Andre and Derby. He was at the show where Vince got hit. And then what did Mike and Milford want? Do we know? Okay. And then Willie Nelson in 1998 played with Tanya Tucker at the Oakdale Theater. That sounds like a great show.
Yeah, and I would, you know, and that's a long time ago, obviously, 23 years ago. And I listened to his set, part of his set at Farm Aid this year.
Yeah.
His voice hasn't changed.
That was your Stand By Your Willie tour.
Well, that's the thing. When he was 20, he sounded old and mature.
You did.
Well, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. Like Johnny Cash, you know? Oh. That's one of the shows that I want to talk to you about at some point. Johnny Cash at friggin' Toad's Place.
Oh, yeah.
I think we'll pick up from there next week. Johnny? Oh, Mike wanted to know about Skinner. Mike in Milford wants to know about Leonard Skinner, and then we'll go.
I have so much pressure from Governor Lamont to bring Leonard Skinner in. The last time I saw him, he asked me again. He's a total Leonard Skinner freak, Governor Lamont.
Yes.
I asked him, I said, are you for real about Leonard Skinner? I said, you're this rich businessman from Greenwich.
Greenwich.
I said, Skinner in Greenwich. I just don't see it. I see Skinner in Waterbury. I don't see Skinner in Greenwich.
Right.
And he goes, I love Skinner. I live for Skinner.
Really?
I go, okay, well, I better get Skinner next year.
We're going to get him on. I'm going to quiz him.
Right.
How many
oh, yeah.
Skinner songs can you name?
That'd be awesome.
Oh. Maybe you want to warn him in advance. I have no idea.
Nah.
So that show's clearly going to the amphitheater in Bridgeport.
No question about
no
it.
Question.
We are going to get it down there and have a great night. That's for sure.
Awesome.
Cool.
Jimmy Coplick at the Palace Theater tonight with Mike Lapatino. Starts at 7. You'll hear all of the stories about the great shows at the Palace and then other shows, too. Tickets available, and we're linked up on the radio station website. Thank you, Jimmy. Have fun tonight.
It,
this guy went from getting an executive chef job in New York City in 2008 to becoming a top New York Times bestselling author, to becoming a world-renowned television personality, to committing suicide in 2018, 20 years. Lori Wolliver was his assistant for 10 of those years, and she wrote an amazing book, Anthony Bourdain's former assistant and author of Bourdain, The Definitive Oral Biography. Really nice job you did on this, because you could have written this thing by yourself just with your stories and experiences, but you included like 100 people who had different perspectives on him.
Yeah. Well, first of all, good morning. Thank
morning.
You for having me.
Hey.
Yeah, you know, Tony was such a huge presence, such a charismatic guy, and he knew and influenced so many people that I thought it made sense to pull in as many voices and as many stories as possible to really start to get at the breadth and depth of the life that he led.
Your book, if it was a movie, the movie would start with a montage, and then you get to chapter 46, and then that's the movie. I mean, that really is where it kicks in.
Would that be the last couple of tumultuous years of his life?
Yeah, this is really, because this is what people, you know, we see him on television. Now, look, if you just know the name Anthony, like everybody knows the name Anthony Bourdain. And then some people might say, yeah, he's like, he has something to do with food, right?
Yeah, destinations.
So like everybody knows that part. And then they know the tragic end. And the question people ask immediately is why? What happened?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a, you know, and it's a complicated answer. I mean, I think the simplest on the face of it is that he was a deeply, deeply romantic person, and also had lifelong, very well documented addictive tendencies. Right. So he wrote about his heroin addiction in the 1980s and, you know, his use of cocaine at that time. And but I think that addictive quality really spread through the entirety of his life, and whatever he was into 1,000%, and
like
sometimes
tanning.
At the expense of everything.
Like tanning.
Right. That he was very competitive about getting the deepest suntan in the 80s with his cooks.
Wow.
Jiu-jitsu.
Right.
Right? Some people take this as like, yeah, I'm going to go to class a couple
times self-defense.
A week. No, like he was competing and winning.
Right.
Yeah, he was. I mean, when he was into jiu-jitsu, it was all-encompassing. And whether or not you cared at all about it, he would talk to you about it endlessly.
Wow.
And sort of, you know, he would try and recruit you in and to take. He got a number of his producers and directors into it. His daughter was into it. I had no interest. I was like, I don't know, grappling with a bunch of dudes and sweating all over each other. Like, I think I'll pass. Thank you.
That sounds the 80s.
But a lot of people around him loved it. So, you know, just to speak to the question about what happened, you know, he was a deeply romantic guy. He was in a love affair that he allowed to take over his entire life. And when things didn't go the way that he wanted them to, you know, he had a moment of desperation, a moment of loneliness and pain. And so that's the short answer. But, you know, if you read the book, you'll see, you know, through his entire life, this was a pattern of deep romantic obsession and longing and, you know, high highs and low lows. And sometimes those things just combine to, you know, in a very tragic way.
I love that you didn't really get into what you thought. You let everyone speak their experiences. And it seemed like there was a theme, super obsessive, addictive behavior. And then he meets this woman, becomes completely, you know, completely obsessed with her. If his jiu-jitsu obsession was a 10, she was like a 30.
Wow.
Yeah. And then things started coming apart. It was funny because it was lovey-dovey on one filming. Rome was a nightmare? And then there was another one that was like beautiful. And it was Hong Kong, right, where they post a picture of themselves wrapping up on the 3rd. He's dead on the 8th. So people want to know what happened. And there was talk about she was seen with a photographer or a reporter or someone in the media and maybe publicly cheating on him. And about 3 hours before word got out that he committed suicide, she had posted a picture of herself on Instagram with a shirt that said F everyone with the caption, you know who you are. And as soon as word got out that he committed suicide, she pulled that post right down. But it sounded like it was about to be a very ugly public breakup.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I don't want to get down into the weeds of interpreting, you know, sort of Instagram posts that may or may not have, you know, I don't know. I was aware of all of that, but I don't really know what she was referring to. You know, I try and just let that part go. But just one factual correction. So they posted a picture of themselves having just wrapped shooting in Florence, Italy, which was by all accounts a very a great experience for everyone. And then about 2 weeks later was when Tony died. But they did shoot a number of episodes together: Rome, Puglia, Hong Kong, Florence. There were plans for more. And it just didn't happen. So, yeah, it was, there's an argument to be made that someone who's really got themselves together doesn't choose to end their life over, some romantic trouble. So,
yeah, no, you can't blame her, but it's
right.
That seems like it could have been the last straw.
Didn't look
it
good.
Seemed like thing. And this is why I say your book, around chapter 46, you start seeing things are starting to come apart. He's having stress with his production company and people he went on this whole journey with. It was getting stressful. And, you talk to all these people, and I like that you have different views, but it seems like everyone had the same opinion, that he was very obsessive and was prone to depression.
Right. And that was never something that was really diagnosed. I mean, it was something there's a chapter in the book that sort of addresses that he wasn't really interested in pursuing, help from a psychologist or a psychiatrist. And that just wasn't something that was part of his worldview up until the very end. But yeah, I mean, people from his production company, publishing colleagues, friends, people who had nothing to do with his professional life but were just friends, everybody kind of noticed that this was a relationship that was taking more and more of his time and energy. And in some cases, he was, leveraging parts of his life in order to keep the relationship going. And it wasn't healthy, and it wasn't great, but there was no stopping him. There was no reasoning with him, and he had such a power over the people around him, just in terms of, his position. He was the guy in charge a lot of the time. So how do you tell your boss or your star that they're being crazy? It would be a very difficult proposition for anyone.
Where were you when you heard the news that Anthony committed suicide?
Sure. So I was home. I live in New York, and I was home and hadn't been sleeping that well. So I happened to be awake, and it was about 4:30 in the morning. And I got a call on my phone, which was next to the bed. And, when you see someone that you see who it is, it was Tony's agent, who's now my agent. And when you see someone calling at that time of the day, it's not good news.
Right.
It's not a business call. I mean, there's something incredibly urgent and troubling that somebody would call at 4 a.m. And so, in fact, it was her, letting me know that Tony had taken his own life. And then we had to move quickly to make sure that we let people in our orbit know before the news broke, in the press.
What was your reaction to that? Were you surprised? Did you say, I didn't, there's no way he would do something like that? Or did you say, oh, okay, horribly sad, but...
I was absolutely shocked. I mean, I knew that things were not great, that he'd been having a tough time with the paparazzi photos that came out, and I had been speaking with people that were with him in France. So, a lot of us knew that things were a little bit dicey, but there was never any sense that it would end that way. I mean, a number of us were checking in on him, and he was saying everything was okay and that he would be all right. And, we were making plans for the following week back in New York. And so to hear that he had made that really terrible decision was absolutely a shock. I just didn't think that it was something that he would do. But
what was your last conversation with him? Do you remember?
Yeah. So we checked in. I checked in with him probably a day or two before it happened to let him know about some things that were going on in New York. And he was, asking me to make different appointments and arrangements for the following week. I handled his calendar. And then I just sort of simply said, I know everything that's been going on, and are you okay? And is there anything I can do? And he just said, I'll be all right. So that's a very difficult thing to reconcile with the fact that he made the decision to end his own life, because, he had assured a number of people around us that he would be okay. And then in fact, he was not.
And there were no, it wasn't like he took a lot of drugs and did this. you know, according to what I saw.
The toxicology report from the French coroner indicated that he had been sober. You know, there were no drugs in his system. He might have had a drink or two with dinner, but he wasn't heavily intoxicated. It was not something that came out of a delusion of drugs and alcohol.
Lori, I think it says something about Anthony, who he had around him, and he had a lot of good people around him, including yourself. And I think this book that you wrote about Anthony Bourdain is a great tribute to his life. I want to tell you something really strange. That's like one of those weird occurrences that gave me chills. Everything that we have now that we record on this show is on a hard drive. But back in the day, we'd catalog stuff on CDs. Last week, I'm downstairs organizing stuff into years. And I saw that I had an interview with Anthony Bourdain from October 20th, 2011. And I thought, oh, this is great. I'll listen to it and I'll get some notes to talk to Lori about. I go through the CD and everything that's listed on the CD is there. And Anthony's the last track and he was not there.
Whoa.
And I thought, so weird, because it's kind of like a representation of his life. There's proof that he was there, but he's not here anymore.
Wow. That's incredible.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a little spooky.
A little spooky.
A little bit.
So this book is great. This is one of those books I picked up. I thought, I'm going to just kind of skim.
Leaf through it, yeah.
I got sucked in. Mm-hmm. I was in my office last night just finishing that book off. And
wow.
I got to tell you, it's a movie.
Nice.
Don't you think?
Yeah. It could be, yeah. I mean, there was a documentary that came out over the summer that
Roadrunner?
I had a small part in. I was the Roadrunner, yep.
Yeah.
So there are some echoed themes in there. Of course, the book gets to go a lot deeper just by the virtue of being a book and not a film. But yeah, I'm sure, you know, Tony was such a big part of the culture that I wouldn't surprise me at all if somebody else made a fictionalized version of his life or in some other way, you know, continued to make books and art and other kinds of literature that reflect the impact that he had on people.
He died at 61, which is horribly sad. And he was really at the height, I think, of his career.
Yeah.
That CNN show, that was just, it was so great. And he had a budget and everything you'd want.
Yep.
But if you think about it, he lived like five or six lives in his one life.
The punk rock band, the whole nine yards. Yep.
Yeah. So,
Lori
Wolver, Anthony Bourdain's former assistant and author of Bourdain, the definitive oral biography. Thank you for coming on. Appreciate it.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.